Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Colden.
Bobby Moore as a Jeff Hurst. Trailer Booking and Billy Bones, Paolo Di Canio, West Ham United, more than just a podcast, more than just a podcast.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. This is More Than Just a Podcast.
Podcast.
I don't know what episode it is because we've got no George tonight and Nigel is hosting and he's just put episode with Nigel in charge. So I know we're season 8 and I can't remember what episode. I'll find out later. So I've already given away no George. He's doing a bit of wedding planning tonight. Good evening, John. Where are you and what are you doing?
Good evening, Sean. I am in my loft and I'm talking to you.
And I've already given it away. Nigel's back and in charge, as he says, which means he can use the mute button tonight. Nigel, where are you and what are you?
Thanks. I forgot about that. Thanks for pointing that out of the mute button because people are just going to go, Nigel, where?
Did you mute me halfway through that then?
Yes, you did.
Oh, a bit of fun tonight. Anyway, I'm in my office because it's a bit cold out there for the shed and I got home late from work because there's a fucking gas leak on the Royal Docks Road and that's why I sat for ages in traffic and didn't move.
Language. Already we've just started. We're a family-friendly podcast and already I'm having to apologise for your language.
Oh,
you're not in the East End docks now, mate.
Can't we just put a certificate rating on it?
Yeah, but is there any? Do you know what I say this to people? What does swearing add to that little sentence you said? Did it add anything? Did it add any enjoyment for our listeners to hear you talk about profanities?
I think it accentuated my frustration of a 22-mile journey that took me over 2 hours.
Anyway. We're not a road traffic podcast. We are a football podcast, and we're here to talk about football tonight. So let's start with John. We were all there. We all went for a change to watch
It meant that you actually turned up for a change.
Right, well, I turned up to the 8-0 game, the cup game.
You keep throwing that out there.
And none of yous were there.
You haven't been to a single game this season in the league.
I still see more goals than you. West Ham goals, that is. John, tell us about our derby, London derby with the Tottenham Hotspur.
Well, we were all there, as you say. So we all saw that event. What was it? It was not a very good Spurs team, I wouldn't have thought. If you look at it, there was a few key players missing. I thought they were there for the taking beforehand. We were going there hoping for the similar performance and energy as we saw against Man United, and that just didn't materialise. What's happened to Aubameyang? Is he injured, Sean? Is he?
Yeah, he's got a calf injury.
So I think we missed him.
Yeah.
In the middle, and we didn't really turn up. You know, we weren't awful. We just didn't have that energy and that cutting edge that we had against, like we did for that one performance, which is always now going to have to be the benchmark, isn't it? So I've seen us play worse. And I don't think Spurs were that much better than us. They took their chance. They scored their goal. Everyone's slating Anderson. He was very poor. But he rightly got substituted. Yarmolenko is the biggest casualty of it all, really, to lose him.
Yeah.
But more of that
later. We're going to do an injury section, so we're going to talk about Yarmolenko and the whole injury and give an update on that a little bit later.
Well, when you sort of look at it all in a round, we are sort of 9 games in and only 7 points, and it does look like a terrible, terrible start to a season, which it is. But, we do have a somewhat easier set of fixtures coming up, and I would hold all my doom and gloom and my judgment on it all until Christmas time, unless if we don't pick up. But
what was the highlight for you, John?
What was the highlight? I don't know.
Did you celebrate the goal that never was?
I did.
Not only did the bloke, and we'll talk about him later, throwing the smoke bombs on, but the club got it wrong as well, because the bubble machine started.
Well, I jumped round to George, but George had already seen the offside flag. And,
clever man.
There's nothing worse when we're as close as we are to the away fans. There is nothing worse than that.
Scored a goal.
Yeah. So, it was a bit disappointing, but, it was just one of those days again.
So going back, what was your highlight?
Oh, I can't. Highlight, Sean. It was a sort of general, I thought, lackluster type of performance. We looked like they wanted it and wanted him to do it. They just couldn't get going. They just couldn't get their cohesion. They were just, as I say, you look back to that Man United performance, it was way off of that. And, few people did have poor performances. But I thought Creswell coming in done well, I thought.
Yeah.
I do prefer him than Masuaku from a point of view of being defensive and doing a job.
He says nice things about you as well, John, actually.
Oh, that's nice. And Diop, it's a Diop.
Amazing.
Is that a stutter there, John, you got? Or has he got them?
The only amazing thing about Diop is he's playing so well that danger is a big, big club comes in for him now, really.
Oh, we worry about that, when it happens.
What, you mean we're not a big, big club?
We're not a big, big club. We're a big club, but we're not a big, big club.
I think he
was the steal of the transfer window.
Well, you've got to say that, Balbuena and this is the up, but they are starting to gel. They dealt with Kane so well.
Yeah. Diop had Kane in his pocket.
He did a really good block, didn't he, at one point? Was that the first half when he got through?
For 21-year-old, we forget how young he is. He's immense and fully deserving to get the Clarence Hugh rating man of the match with an average of 8.43, which is one of the highest ratings we've ever got for a West Ham player this season.
So, it wasn't our best performance. I thought we could have got a draw out of it because I didn't think either team were particularly great on the day. I thought Spurs were dragging their heels, weren't they, when they sort of last 20 minutes wasting time. And it was just one of those days, wasn't it? The ref was awful. The ref was terrible, but I'm not going to blame him for the result. But it just added to the frustration.
Yeah, it wasn't going our way, really, was it? I'm just going to give you the rest of the scores and then go to Nigel. Declan Rice was the second one with a 7.42. Fabianski's always up there with a 7.3. And Wawana, 7.2. Pablo Zabaleta and Snodgrass and Arnautovic and Grady Diana. Diagana, isn't it? All scored 6.5, 6 is Mark Noble, Aaron Creswell. Yarmolenko, I thought, was a bit unfair. He was in the fives with Mikel Antonio and Hernandez, obviously came back. But, and this is the final but, the lowest ever score we've had. And remember, about 500-600 people fill in this player rating. Philippe Anderson, with the lowest average score ever scored, 3.26. Nigel, discuss.
I don't know if that's harsh or not on Anderson. I think he's been singled out because obviously it was him that was tracking back when the cross was put in for Lamella to ghost in between our defenders and flick the ball in. So is Anderson there to be a defender? I suppose everybody's at some point has got to muck in and defend. He is a more an attacking player. I suppose for a club like West Ham, you need players that are going to have to muck in and defend because we are going to have a lot of defending to do. And you can't afford to have too many people like Anderson, Yarmolenko to an extent, even though obviously he went off injured, and Arnautovic, who don't seem to do the defensively stuff well. Aside from that, I thought we played quite well. And I thought we at least deserved a draw out of it. We were by far and away the better team in the second half. We were the team trying to do something at the end. Spurs, we didn't really see a lot of their attacking prowess as such. Fabianski made one really good save and one that people said was outstanding. But then when you look at it, I think it was Moura actually kicked the ball against him when Fabianski was on the floor, like the sort of second of the double save. So it's hard to be despondent because I still look at it and think, well, if we play like that, we're going to win more games than we lose.
Yeah.
But then I thought that after Brighton. So you think, well, you know, Brighton we batted. Spurs, all right, we didn't batter Spurs, but you know, we were equal to them, if not better, on the day. And this is a top 14. So, I mean, this is Spurs' best ever start to a Premier League, I think.
I read somewhere.
So, the thing I take this season is, you could say, it's a start all over again season. I know we've had loads of them, but when you get a new manager coming in, especially in a way, a manager that has got an ethos of a way to play that is more in tune with us. But what you got to remember is we've not had that. Bilic was to an extent, but I think even Bilic slipped back to more negative football where Pellegrini is more attacking. So that has to, we've got to bring in the players. You know, we had 4 years of Allardyce buying negative players. Bilic brought some attacking players in. But then I think Sullivan, you could see, was buying players and we got lumbered with negative and failures. So we finally got a decent manager who seems to have a decent scouting network. The difference I'd say here with Pellegrini is when he was at other teams and he bought players, he was at a team big enough to keep them. You know, as we're saying about Diop, you know, Mourinho has already said, you know, whoever the scout was, you know, he tips his hat to him that found Diop. So if he's noticed, you can bet your life everybody else is noticing. And I suppose it is.
I'm sure.
You know, is it a worry? It's good if we can keep hold of him. But to keep hold of him, we've got to show to him that we've got the ambition to keep going, or and the players, to keep going upwards and not backwards.
Yeah. I agree. And I certainly agree with you that there was not a lot to choose between the two sides. And in fact, right up to the end, you know, the last kick of the game when it came to corner, I thought we were going to equalise. And I thought that would have been a fair result.
Did you think we were going to equalise?
Because I did, yeah.
I just didn't see the goal coming. I think that's, well, again,
you're right. That Arnautovic seemed to be off game when he missed that one. And you think, if Arnautovic is not firing, is this going to be our day? But I still wanted to stay to the very last second because I thought, you know, we were pushing, even in injury time. We got that last corner. I thought, do you know what? This could go in. That would be brilliant. That would be such a good result if this goes in and be so fair. So I don't know if I did think it would go in, John. I thought I thought we were good enough to get an equaliser, although it just didn't.
I did celebrate that goal like it was an equaliser. My mate sitting next to me, though, took a little bit of delight in pointing out the linesman's flag was up. So we didn't, did we? No, but it, I mean,
it was, it, you know, it's they give it so large, and we were, and this is a good time to bring in, you know, it's interesting that, you know, there was a lot of a few problems with the Spurs fans. They were singing the Y word, right, which they are allowed to sing, apparently. I went into the toilets in the first half, and there was someone sounding singing why Army, and someone pushed his face. He had a and he had a little accident in the urinal. But the stadium was full of Spurs fans, both some of them wearing shirts, and you've seen that on social media, some of them not taking pictures of Spurs players or having phone cases with Spurs fans. So on one hand, it had the biggest probably bums on seats we've ever seen in a game. But they seem to all be sold to overseas Spurs fans. And I was told afterwards by a senior source that there have been 15 ejections. Five of them had been for people wearing Spurs tops in the home ground, all from overseas. And the picture we've seen, and I did an article on Clout and Hugh, was an American couple. They weren't stopped. They sat in block 230 with their both of them with their Spurs tops on. That would never happen at Bowling Ground, would it, Nigel? What's your view on the whole?
This is
Spurs tops and tourists watching these kind of games. This happened at Man United.
Let's get this right. This is a consequence of the Premier League's push to go around the world. It's created itself a global brand. Now, what happens is, you know, we've now got friends that come from America to watch. You've got people that are coming. I spoke briefly to Tony, who does the American podcast in the Supporters Club.
Yeah, you didn't introduce me. I took a picture and he went, oh, I'm in that picture. You never introduced me. I've been on their podcast and you sort of kept him to yourself and didn't introduce me. I think that's very poor of you.
Sorry about that. But anyway, back to, you know, the globalisation. This is a consequence of that. Now, the thing is, you've got to remember, in America, they don't have the violence. They don't have the segregation. They don't really have the trouble that has come along with football. And what happens is that they go there. It's a family atmosphere. It's very friendly. Everybody is, you know, gets along. Now it comes to here, and they don't realise that actually, I don't have a problem with Tottenham fans in the away end, as long as one, they're not wearing their colours, and two, they're not making it so bloody obvious.
Just keep the low profile. I think we've all done it.
No, my friend,
I think we've all done it.
You didn't know he was a Tottenham fan.
I told you afterwards.
You know,
didn't tell us when you were in the supporters club, did you? Not
in the supporters club. No, so. You know, but then again, why should I not go football with him? We've been mates since we were 11 years old, and we have gone West Ham Tottenham games since we were 13, 14 years age. All right, I've stood on the shelf with him. I've stood in the members end of Tottenham with him. I was a fool back then because I used to openly cheer for West Ham, but I got taught a lesson one game that you don't do it. So, and I've spent as many games watching West Ham play Tottenham in the Tottenham end as I have in the West Ham end. So I'm not going to bitch and moan.
Yeah.
But don't, we got.
But don't put it in your face and don't sing songs and don't.
There was a game thrown out at the beginning. I don't know. The story was it that he took his T-shirt off and someone saw the Tottenham shirt under.
Oh, yeah. The guy by me who, with like the black guy with the blonde sort of dyed. He apparently lifted up his sweatshirt and there was a Tottenham something underneath and it went off in block 112 and he was hauled out, as you probably saw. But there were problems all over and the same thing, you know, you've seen another picture. I've been told by the club, they've told London Stadium 185, who manage the stewards, it is not acceptable. This cannot happen at the next game. You need to brief stewards more because these American couple, you can see, And I've given the steward number to the club, a steward, and I think it's like 0321 or something, watching and smirking as he stands next to two fans, these American fans, in Spurs shirts.
Well, for all we know, this steward doesn't. You know, these stewards come from everywhere. Before stewards.
Yeah, well, that's it. Well, that's why they need to be brief. Maybe they need to be shown a picture. This is a rival Spurs shirt. I don't know. Or this is the emblem that shouldn't. I don't know. Look, what happened in the bowling ground? I can tell you now, if we found a rival fan, what used to happen in Shrewbrook in Lower? John, what happened?
Well, what I'd forcibly get thrown out, wouldn't
it? Not only that, they get coined with £1 coins, would they not?
Well, I don't know about that so much.
I saw that quite a few times at the bowling ground. They would have £1
coin. I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so.
If you're going to start throwing coins from everywhere, an away fan in your own group of fans, you're going to get your own group of fans more often than not, aren't you?
Talking of that, apparently the Spurs fans were throwing from Lower into 114 and 113. I didn't see it, but it's been reported on social media. Again, Spurs fans probably won't get in trouble because guess what? They can throw coins and get away with it. They can use the Y word and get away with it. And what were they calling us, John? Because I know this upsets you and you said record it and send it to Kick It Out. What were they calling us?
It doesn't. What were they calling us, John? It doesn't upset me. I just hate the double standards of it all.
They were calling us pikies, and pikies is a racial slur and a banned word.
Yeah. So is the Y word that they sing. And I've heard all sorts of people that are genuinely Yiddish saying that they don't wish to be appropriated by so the whole thing is such double standards.
Yeah.
You know, it's either for everyone or not, isn't it? So act or don't act, you know, if all our hymns started singing some of the songs that were sung, I remember at the bowling, they actually put undercover police in and started arresting people.
Yeah, they did. You're right. Just close to us.
So
the last question I'm going to ask on this is, this was supposed to be an all ticket and you couldn't buy a ticket unless you had purchase history. Now, in the case of two Americans, I spoke to someone who sat next to them and they said his mate sold those tickets that the two Americans used through Ticketmaster. So they must have bought it from the club. And my question to the club, and I've challenged, is how did they get tickets if it's only people with purchase history? How much is that policed?
Look, we know the system's flawed. As West Ham fans, we use the ticketing system. You know, I got locked out of the Huddersfield game. I got 24 points. And for some reason, it wouldn't allow me to buy a ticket. But Huddersfield sold out on 20. But I spent, you know, a good part of 3 hours refreshing the page. Just kept being told Thursday afternoon there was no tickets available, even Friday morning.
Now, is it sorted yet?
No, it ain't sorted. Of course it ain't. Behave yourself.
I'll sort it.
So, what happens here is, and this is the thing.
You're his hero, Sean. Yeah. Thanks.
One man. So anyway, what we've got here is a situation where the club open up the tickets by season ticket holders to be sold back once it's sold out. But the problem is they stick all them on general sale. And I think you'll find is the problem. You know, this so-called waiting list and this membership list, there's probably people there would have snapped up those tickets in a heartbeat. But what the club do is they put Ticket Trader and they go direct on general sale, opening it up for everyone. Now, some Yankee Doodle Dandy.
But I think you were supposed to have West Ham purchase history. But
what if they'd bought for the last West Ham Tottenham game and came to that last year?
Yeah, you're right.
So,
although I think they're all games.
You know, years ago, if you rang up Newcastle, and wanted a ticket in a Newcastle to watch West Ham, you know, your London accent, London address, they'd tell you to sling your hook. But now with globalization, people come from everywhere. So now nobody knows whether they're a West Ham fan or not. I mean, look at my mate. Grew up in Canning Town. He's a Tottenham fan.
I was going to say, how did he grow up in Canning Town and become a Tottenham? We haven't got time anyway.
Well, his dad was a Tottenham fan.
Last thing I want to talk about before we move on to injuries is smoke bombs. Very close to us. I was with my son in row 4 of block 113, and we saw the three smoke bombs come over our head and land not far away from us, close to the Spurs fans. I know some people say no pyro, no party. We were at John and myself were at Sparta Prague recently, and they didn't have any problems with flares. But tonight has come the news that we're under a fresh investigation by the FA for possible charges of failing to control our fans by throwing flares on it. A 21-year-old Albanian West Ham fan has been arrested and will appear before magistrates on the 5th of November. But my question is, we all get searched going over the bridges. How on earth do you get in? These flares aren't small, are they? How do they get free flares past security in the first place, Nigel?
Oh, you've gone through the searches often enough. They wave the magic wand in front of you, tell you to turn around and push your way through. If they did proper searches, the searches would take even longer and everybody would be moaning. The searches are sped up because they don't take time now to do it. But to be fair, Who cares?
Do you have a problem with the smoke bombs and the flares?
You don't.
How about
I'll tell
John?
You what I have a problem with, to be what? Fair. Get the right fucking colour.
Barcelona colours.
Yeah. You can't get
flares. You said that the other day.
I do have flare a problem on with it.
Red and blue. What's all that about? We're claret and blue.
Well, As an asthmatic.
Heavy asthmatic, so.
I do suffer from that smoke.
You should have stopped breathing, John.
Yeah, I held my breath. How about you, John? Do you have a problem with pyro, or do you think it's just an overreaction? Faces 3 months in prison for this.
Shut up.
That's 3 months in prison?
Yeah.
I don't have a massive like or dislike for it. If when they happen, they happen. It's not such a big thing in our game.
It is quite rare at West Ham.
It's quite rare at most games in England.
So, I think, if used correctly, I think it brings a bit of something to the game, doesn't it? I mean, it looks good.
A bit of European ultras, eh?
I don't know. It's just a bit different, isn't it? I mean, personally, I don't. You know, I suppose they're dangerous. If they're thrown at people, if they're thrown on the pitch, I don't have a problem.
Whoever did throw him, he'd done well to get them all on the pitch from where he was.
Well, he had a long way to throw them to begin with, didn't it?
Anyway.
Lucky the red carpet weren't down, would have burnt an hole in it. Or the claret carpet.
It did, didn't it? I think, who said it hit a policeman before going on the floor? Was that you, John?
No, it weren't me.
Someone did
say that.
Anyway, let's talk about injuries. We are now jointly top of the Premier League injury table with 7 injuries with Manchester United. Yarmolenko has got an Achilles injury, which I'm going to talk about in a minute. Carlos Sanchez, and he's probably out for the season. Carlos Sanchez, he needs knee surgery, and he's out for the season. Pedro Obiang has picked up a calf strain. No return date for him at the moment. Andy Carroll is still not back. Earliest we expect him back. Andy Carroll. Have you heard of him?
Yeah, he used to play
he's not back for the 10th of November.
Carroll's back at Christmas, don't worry.
Jack Wilshere has had a setback. It was supposed to be 6 weeks. He's still not back to the 3rd of November. Winston Reid is still injured with a knee injury. He's not expected back to the 29th of January next year. And finally, if we haven't forgotten, Manuel Lanzini, ACL injury, as you remember, and the operation. He's not back till next year. Return date unknown at the moment. He wants to come back in February, but we still don't know. It's devastating. It's top normal West Ham, and we could do the, what's wrong with Rush Green? What's wrong with Chadwell Heath, etc.? But we still seem to get them. And putting aside the new one of Obiang, Yarmolenko, that happened just in front of us, and we saw how bad it is. And someone told me it was probably Achilles pretty early on.
So it snapped.
Well, apparently it's damaged at the upper. It hasn't completely snapped. But here's the information, and I've just put on Clarence Hugh tonight. One, Ukraine media are saying he was received an injury and he was hit on the right Achilles during the international match, and they were very concerned about it. And the club, West Ham, did checks and made sure he was strong enough before the match. So did they get it wrong is the first thing. But probably the bigger story is this is the same Achilles that he did in January this year. He spent 2 months out at Borussia Dortmund And one of the reasons he had such a problem in Germany was his right Achilles, same Achilles again. So, I don't know. Have West Ham made a mistake in buying a known injured player with a dodgy Achilles and it's gone again? I'll start with you, John.
I don't know, Sean. It's like, I mean, you would have thought if he has a history of injuries, they would have. But I mean, they've just shelled out on Jack Wilshere.
Andy, I mean, I'm surprised. Maybe this is Pellegrini wanting to take a gamble on these two, but yeah.
Do they do due diligence? I don't know.
All right, let's ask Nigel. Nigel, do they do due diligence?
They do it better than you can say it, to be fair. Yeah, of course, you know, they're going to do fitness tests. I mean, he had troubles with it in January. We bought him in August. So I'd imagine it would have cleared up. Listen, every player has got a chance of being injured. There are some that do have injury problems and that perhaps you should be more cautious with, i.e. Jack Wilshere. But at the end of the day, the thing with these players is when they are fit, they're really good. So sometimes you think they're worth the gamble and that's what they are.
Yeah.
And then you can get caught out, you know, unfortunately. He could have had a bad tackle and done his knee and then it wouldn't have been his fault. That's just what happens in football. People are going to get injured.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we do seem to have constantly more than our fair share. I don't think it's anything. I think it makes a mockery of all them people who kept blaming Chad Relief.
Yeah.
And considering we left Chad Relief 3 years ago and we're still getting injury problems.
Yeah.
We've got different managers, so it's a different training regime. So it can't be that. So what is it?
It's Murphy's.
It's just... It's that's what happens.
It's a curse.
Don't blame him.
It's a curse.
He can put a cake on it.
George Murphy's. If you're listening out there, George Murphy, big shout out.
Don't leave your beer in front of him.
Yeah, don't leave your beer in front of him. He emptied a whole pint of George Murphy, who sits with us, emptied a whole pint of beer over his dad.
And half a jug.
A half a jug was it as well?
I think it was half a jug more than anything. Oh,
anyway, yeah, I mean...
Oh, just I'd like to thank people from the Supporters Club for my complimentary jug of lager.
Don't tell everyone that, because everyone else will want one.
Well, yeah, but it was just me, wasn't it?
Well, so, for Locksmith Services, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
So. Excellent.
But it was very welcome, even if I was about to get up and go. It made me very late. And
yeah. Even. You were a little bit.
And it also meant I had to sleep on the sofa.
Oh, really?
It was.
Oh, did Sam put you on the sofa?
No, I did it myself because I fell asleep in the living room and everybody just went to bed because they couldn't wake me up.
Excellent. Right, let's move on. We're going to talk about Wissa.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Nigel and myself is. I resigned from Whistler on Sunday, and I wasn't planning to make a big thing of it, but Whistler decided to put something on their website and social media, and that was picked up by KUMB, and a headline of controversial committee member resigns from Whistler. And I just want to, I blogged this evening on it, and I just want to say my piece, and I'm going to bring in Nigel, which is, you know, I, along with Nigel, founded Whistler in 2013, along with a girl who we both know called Ali Worth, and a number of other people, with the concept of creating an independent supports association. You know, we, at the time, there were both people who liked the board and didn't like the board. There were people from different walks of life. And there was a balance there. I was a joint chair, Ali was a joint chair, and you couldn't find two more different people. It didn't grow as much as we wanted it to. And in 2016, I stepped down, and a new committee came on board, and it's grown to what it is. So when an opportunity came up, I put myself up for election earlier this year, as did Nigel again, because he's resigned about twice by now. Isn't that true, Nigel? How many times? Yes. You resigned twice? Yeah. So yes. We both put ourselves up, and we were elected, right? Some people weren't happy with it because of my connection with the board, but I was democratically elected. In fact, we're going to reveal that myself and Nigel got the two highest votes. Nigel got the most votes democratically elected by our members, and I got the second highest. So, you know, we thought, okay, you know, the committee might not like us, some members might not like us, but we've been democratically elected. I felt from the very beginning I've been treated like an absolute outsider. We have not been told what's going on. We don't know what the policies are, what the plans are. We're excluded from decision-making business. You know, when they were talking to the club about the new supports board, don't know who they talked to, what they were talking about, didn't know about any of this food bank stuff, didn't know when they made decisions to meet with the Premier League or FSS. We were just completely in the dark. In fact, we found out more information by following their Twitter, going on Facebook, and occasionally going on KUMB forum. So at the weekend, I said, right, we are supposed to be in committee. It's not supposed to be the chairman and certain people making decisions. We need to make joint decisions. And finally, for the first time, we agreed. And the big decision was, should we join the West Ham Supporters Board, which is there to replace the SAB? Deadline's next Wednesday. And I strongly believe that Whistler members should actually make the decision themselves, not the committee, but Whistler members. But I was told, no, we can't go to Whistler members all the time. We want to make a decision. We need to make it. So we made it over a WhatsApp group in about 5 minutes. Needless to say, I was vastly outvoted. And about an hour later, it was decided to put up a statement which basically stuck two fingers up against the club and said, we don't want to play your game. You're insane. And in fact, they actually gave a quote from Einstein saying insanity is doing the same thing over and over again. I found that statement embarrassing. I thought my position after that was untenable. And as I said in the blog, it was like I'm banging my head against a brick wall again and again and getting nowhere apart from a headache. So I resigned. I resigned on Sunday. They immediately, with glee, put it out on social media. Sean Whetstone has resigned. Then put something on the website. I don't think any in the history anyone else resigning has been made news. And then KUMB made it news. I've just had enough, really. I really worry for the future of Whistler. You know, I believe in the concept, but the sad truth is it's becoming a protest group, mostly for anti-board people. And I just don't think that's what it was supposed to be. It's not as democratic. Members should be deciding what to do. And I'm personally now going to put my efforts into the really good West Ham Supporters Club, which obviously saved themselves after 70 years. I think they could be a voice for the fans going forward. They're an organisation. They're not political. They're not a protest group. They're happy to work with the club, and they have done. They're happy to join the new West Ham supporters board. And I think that they in one day could just replace Wissa, and there would be no need for Wissa. Anyway, that's my soapbox. That's my 5 minutes. I've said what I want to say. I'm going to draw a line under it now because I've left. And I'm conscious that, Nigel, you're still a committee member as well. Is there anything you want to add?
Well, yeah, there is quite a lot I want to add. Whether I will or not, that depends on how I feel in the next 5 minutes. There's a problem there. Now, me and you, on how we approach the board, are chalk and cheese.
Yeah.
You know, I say it till I'm blue in the face. This fan base is going to be divided until they sell up and leave the club. They're not going to do that anytime soon. So if you're going to make things better for the supporter base, predominantly that goes to the games as well, that's what it should be about, then you have to deal with these people, the owners. Now, when all you're afforded is a place on the SAB, Mark 5 or 6, whatever we call it. I know you go, oh, I hate the SAB, but at the end of the day, look.
It's the SB. It's
the SAB again, just redesigned. So Wissa could have had a seat on that, and they decided not to, in a bad way, in my opinion. But not only that is, I thought the statement left them no room to ever go back to the club. The club are going to read that, and they're just going to ignore them now. So what service do they do to fans? Because if you stand outside the tent and shout, but the people inside ain't listening, you get nothing. I learned that way back years ago. I joined the SAB. People that knew me back then wondered why I did it, because obviously I was against Olympic Stadium. And I said, because you have to stand there and you have to tell them. Now, it links in to Saturday's game, because at half time, an ex-member of the SAB that I hadn't spoke to in 3 or 4 years, sadly I can't remember his name, see me in the crowd and come up to me deliberately to apologise to me for the SAB, because he said to me, do you know what, you was right all along, that the club made mugs of us, and I'm sorry I didn't listen to you. And I was a bit stunned by it. I said, look, it could have gone either way. Don't stand there and apologise to me. I don't need an apology. I had this feeling it wouldn't be right. A lot of people believe the club, but of course they're going to believe the club, because a lot of people do actually believe what they're told is true. I'm just one of these people that like to check things out. So, but you got to be inside, and that's the only way you're going to make changes. So if that's the only gig in town, you got to be part of it. Now, when we set up Wissa, that was the whole part of Wissa, that Wissa would be a conduit to the club for the fans as a wider fan base. Unfortunately, with things like this, when you do have elections and you can change committees and whatever, people, it takes on a life as your own. You create this thing, and then sometimes you have to let it go. And I think that's at the situation where we are now. It doesn't behave in a way that I ever believed or thought it would behave. It does things I wholeheartedly disagree with. I was on Twitter the other night bemoaning the way the club had treated Mark Phillips, while Wissa are putting it on their Facebook group and inviting a debate about it. You know, which I think while I'm supposed to be on the committee, I was at odds with it. I keep finding myself at odds with the people there, well, with certain people there. I mean, you've resigned, Sean, and they couldn't wait to tell us that you'd resigned. Yet what's been kept quiet, people, is another member has stepped back from the committee for whatever reason, yet that has not been said. And he did that last week. I'm not going to name him. I'm not going to say why I stepped back, because we've not been told anyway. Well, we know it is, not been told. But why was that not announced then? Why is the person running the Twitter feed not announced? Because it was personal. They did, we know they didn't tell us stuff deliberately, or certain people there were keeping us out of the loop. They didn't trust us because they presumed we'd come as a pair. And for that reason, I'm still there at the moment. I probably won't be by next week. And that's the way it is. Because I've got now... Look, I'm personal friends with the chairman. That will always remain. There's other people there. If the phrase, I wouldn't piss on them if they were on fire, may seem extreme. I think that's the way I feel about them now.
And I think we'll leave it there, Nigel. I'm going to bring in John for the last word because he's a WESA member. Where do you stand on this?
£5 down, Sean, didn't I? Because I joined right at the beginning. So that's why I stand.
Apparently, now there's no renewal if you signed your member forever. Where do you stand on it? Look, you're one of my biggest critics, John. So, you know.
Yeah, well, look, the way I see it, let's see, I saw some stuff with people saying, well, yeah, Sean shouldn't be there anyway, massive conflict of interest and all that. Now, I believe that what you two being on a committee do is exactly what needs to be done in such a group, because you've got such opposing sides and opinions of the main things like the Olympic Stadium and the board, that's healthy. It's like what's going on with our country essentially everywhere at the moment with your pros and your remains and your outs and all that. You don't have to ostracise people. You can listen, talk about it, debate stuff, you know, and you two being on there seemed to me to be a good thing because you were so opposing. The fact that you're opposing on the board and the club itself, and probably politically, I don't even know if that's the case because we don't sit there and talk about politics. But I think that's a good thing because it's healthy. And, you know, what it looks to me like is that if you don't agree, you're out. I don't know the ins and outs of what's happened to you. I know you got voted on. I know lots of stuff is going on and you didn't know about it. But, you know, I just think it's basically completely sort of like run its course, isn't it? Because if they're not going to be part of the club, I'm not going to deal with them anymore, clearly. And they are affiliated to this and affiliated to that. But if the club turn around and say to these, like the FSF and all that, look what they put out about us and that, we don't have to deal with them because of that. So it's just like a busted flush and they're sort of going to end up talking to themselves, aren't they?
Do you know what? That is a really good analogy, John. I can, and some people will say you're biased because, you know, you're on a
podcast. Well, I'm not biased because I completely disagree with you on so much.
Exactly. You say what you want to say. You don't usually.
Yeah.
You won't do it to curry favour.
Well, I thought it was such a good idea. I mean, I thought there was never a moment in time of our football club that we could have done with a strong, inclusive association, fans association, to represent the fans and deal with the club. There couldn't have been a better time for it. But unfortunately, it's just, gone completely awry, isn't it? It's just, you know, we could have just done with a strong voice. We could never have done with better someone putting forward a point of view as the fan and making our match day experience, concentrating on the match day experience for the fan. Every sort of problem we've had should have been their problem, not the wider problems of the world. Yeah. Them
I think
problems
that's what they lost sight of, John. I really do. I think that's the problem. They lost sight that we were there to try and make life better.
They're supposed
for fans.
To be representing
the
fans.
Try and make life
yeah,
better.
That's their sole purpose.
That's all I'm bothered.
That's their sole
that's
purpose.
That's all I'm bothered with. I'm not bothered about, you know, could be uncaring.
That's why I signed up. That's why I joined, because I wanted them to make my match day experience better, because it was shocking when we moved. So it's a shame. It's a shame. But I don't know. We don't sit there and really even talk about the ins and outs of stuff because it's not, it is committee stuff and it's not my business. But from what I've
We know George is, he loves the committee, does George? He says it's not enough committees.
There's not enough committees to all association.
We need a few more committees.
It's a shame. It's a shame. But
yeah, we move on. Right. It's time for, see if he's ready, this.
Yeah, it's Facebook Twitter question. So I'm glad you said that. I hope he's ready because I wasn't. And I thought, oh, so I thought, well, I've got the tune playing on time. Then I remembered, shit, I ain't loaded Facebook up. But I have now because I've been feeling like a professional people that I am not. Anyway, Sean Whetstone, Shulstone, whatever we want to call him, podcasting.
The controversial former committee member of Whetstone.
Yeah, Sean the Whetstone. Podcasting tonight to talk about the Spurs game, Spurs supporters in the West End, in smoke bombs, growing industry of seven players, and of course, controversial committee members, always blah, 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 blah. Oh, and predictions for Leicester away. Dodsey, hi, Rich. Wonder how long before the so-called big boys of Europe realise how good Diop is by calling to buy him. Who so far would you say is the worst signing, pound for pound, we made in the summer, and who is the best pound for pound? Worst pound for pound.
Fabianski is the best signings pound for pound.
Pound for pound.
Although I will say it's 7 million quid plus a 5 million agent fee, but that's another story. But he's probably still better pound.
What about Balbuena?
Balbuena is, you know, what was he, 3 million?
He's pound for pound. Value.
Yeah, no, you're right. You could be right there.
Worst.
Well, as it stands, go on. As it stands, it's like, let's say the elephant in the room.
Right, Anderson.
Anderson, for the money we paid for him, you know, he's got to be. But, you know, I'm willing to give him a season, see if he seems to just get bounced off the ball and stuff, doesn't he? So.
And Yarmolenko, you've got to say, you know, with the injury, which I know is his not fault, but, you know, how many really good games have we got? He's only really come good. I mean, to begin with, we were going, well, you know, he had to get up to speed. And he's only just come good.
It takes a while, isn't it?
I know, and now he's injured for the rest of the season. So, you know, for his 20...
Is he out for the season?
Yeah, 20 million. I think he's out for the season. I mean, the problem with... I mean, it's 6 months for an Achilles... Right, but then you have to do some strengthening work. So, I mean, I've done some research into Achilles in footballers, and it's not quick. It's not quick.
We're done now.
We'll show.
All right, Wesley Williams. As an American, that was my first chance I got to go to a game. God, I hope you had your shirt on. Despite the loss, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Disappointing to see Yarmolenko go down, but hopefully inspires others to step up. Not on their Achilles, we are. Anderson struggled big time and couldn't even get basic touches right. If you want to pay $42 million for someone to dribble it out, you could have just signed me. Well, Wes, we could have signed you, but you'd have probably up the 10 yards run by the line to stop the clock. So, little joke there. Keith Reid, good evening, gentlemen. Very polite. This is a non-football related gripe, but still very relevant to West Ham. Or he put West Ham. Keith, can you make sure there's space between West and Ham? Because West Ham is a village in East Sussex, while West Ham properly is a place in East London. Move on. When moving to London Stadium, we were promised, and I quote, excellent transport links. Well, this is not the case on match days, he says. He's getting very stern now. The journey from Essex to Stratford and back again seems to be getting worse with each match train cancellations being the prime reason. He goes on after the Macclesfield game. I didn't think it could get worse. Uh-oh, not looking good. But at the weekend, the service was poor to non-existent. Should have got the C to C, Keith. It runs a lot better. I know trains are not West Ham. He's done it again. He's put West Ham with no space. It's a different place, Keith. Responsibility, but in the future, many fans could just give up going. I know there are coaches running to Stratford. Or can you point them in the direction of the training pitch? We might need them. But running trains are more flexible. Ooh, don't say running with Yarmolenko and his Achilles, Keith. But anyway, we've got you, Guy. Nothing to do with us, and we can't even pin this one on the Whistler committee. Nick Garvey. You all right, Nick? Okay, performance for Spuds, but we missed Obiang in his view Anderson was poor, but let's give him a bit more time. Yeah, why not? Squad not looking great with the growing injury list. Money needs to be spent January, which won't please Sullivan. Well, it won't please you lot to find out we ain't got any. Spud supporters in our end simply down to the ineptitude of LS185 again. What could have been an interesting season with a new manager, some entertaining football looks like it would now be a typical West Ham-esque fight against relegation. Interesting to see how Pellegrini handles that. Yeah, I'm not sure we will fight against relegation. I'm pretty sure we'll be all right. I think we're getting better and better with each game. Our old mate, Merrion, definitely going to be a season of struggle. Missed Obiang big time. Good to see on a personal note. I'm closing in on Shed Man on the predictions. Yeah, I had noticed that, mate. I'm going through a bad time. Gary Prince. Controversial, Mr. Prince. What's your view on the coach that went on the DFLA march after his sister was caught up in a London Bridge terror attack? I'll go, because personally, I think it was in his own time and what he does and sees fit to do. Unfortunately, too many people want to give labels to the opposition of their political view. Shouldn't drag politics and football into it. What can I
think
say?
It was ill-advised for him to do.
Well, that's up for him. Ill-advised, you could say.
Why would it be ill-advised if he just made a decision to do it? You know, it's like, I don't really...
The problem is...
There's enough evidence to show that the man is not a racist, that he's not a member of a far-right thing, you know.
But let me ask you this. Tony Henry wasn't a racist. He still lost his job. Was Tony Henry a racist?
No,
but he still lost his job. Yeah, because, and the problem is, perception is everything. And
no, the problem
the
is
media and
the media. It's media.
And the PC police
now
just demand that, a head on the plate. And it's interesting. It's gone very quiet. In the case of Tony Henry, within 48 hours, they made a decision. HR are looking at it. They've already admitted, apparently, he didn't do anything wrong. This is not a banned organisation. It's not a openly racist organisation.
I honestly thought their headlining banner holders were Muslim ladies, weren't they? I mean, the whole thing is just farcical if it's been...
I mean, personally, I wouldn't go on the march. I think it's been infiltrated by some right-wing people. But you could say that about a lot of things. And, you could say about the left-wing...
It was a communist that shook hands with Venezuelans and Cubans and loved a load of organizations.
You know, we agree. We try and keep politics out of it. Not right-wing, not left-wing. It's football. And I don't think football and politics...
I think the Guardian journalists got a lot to answer for.
Are compatible. I don't think it's compatible, and therefore, personally, whatever my beliefs, I wouldn't go on a march like that because I think it could be misunderstood the same way. I'm sure he regrets it now. Whether this situation can be saved or not will probably depend on the public backlash, and I guess, I don't know, if you speak to some West Ham fans, some West Ham fans will say it's wrong, it's, you know... And some people will say, no, he did nothing wrong and it's his democratic right to go. I think, like a lot of things, it splits people down the middle.
But it's also about...
I think it would be harsh to sack him, personally.
Employee law and stuff, surely, like you say,
is the investigation is looking into bringing West Ham name into disrepute. I understand Kick It Out offered he could go and if he apologized and disowned the DFLA and went on a course, then they would be satisfied. But it should be up to them. It should be up to West Ham and to stand by their convictions. It's a difficult one for West Ham to be in. And let's be honest, it's not of their making, but it's a difficult decision. You're damned if you do, and you're damned. They'd be damned if they sack him. They'd be damned if they don't. They'd be damned if they allow him to stay, and they'd be damned if they don't. They can't win either way, is my view.
Well, hopefully they'll be damned for sticking by him. That's all I'll say.
Okay.
Ed Hughes, throwing anything, smoke bombs, flares, pennies, pints of piss, etc. He's stupid. Right, Ed, he's stupid. Full deck.
It's stupid.
Isn't cheering or singing good enough anymore? Not if you're at Manchester University. Jazz hands only. That would be fun, wouldn't it, if we did that instead of clapping? But anyway, enough of left-wing nonsense. Chris Hooper. Noble looks so out of his depth. Spurs dominated the midfield. We need Lanzini back urgently. Yeah, I'm not sure about it. But Michael Malin. It's going to be a struggle this season. Injuries. Well, what can you do? Dodsey's back. Leicester away is going to be a draw. Then we're going on a run. And Lewis Aaron Trouts, who's got a great picture of a dog in a woolly jumper. But anyway, Pellegrini's three games. Hold up. Pellegrini's three games to turn it around, in my view. Another Shiite result. Getting political again. The black cloud continues to hang over us with yet another long-term injury in Yami. Our fans are certainly no saints, but for that lot to cheer an injury is vile, and no wonder every other team makes their fans. It's our cup final, yet they cheer like it's theirs. He's gone further. Lose to Leicester and a point v Burnley is all I can see. But apparently, which Lou does make me laugh, he's optimistic as always. There's optimism for you, folks. Lose to Leicester on a point v Burnley. I'd hate to see pessimism. Right. That is it for Facebook. And now we move on.
Update. West Ham has just released a statement for Yarmolenko. West Ham United can confirm that Yarmolenko has undergone successful surgery to repair a damaged Achilles tendon. The Ukraine international sustained the injury in Saturday's 1-0 defeat against Tottenham at London. He had an operation Monday morning and is expected to be sidelined for around 6 months. Head of Medical Services Richard blah 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 said, Yarmolenko's operation went well and we will now work hard to support him through the rehabilitation process. His recovery will be planned very carefully and we have every confidence he will return to full fitness within the scheduled time scale. So what will 6 months be? Will that be before the end of the season?
6 months. 6 months will be 6 months.
6 months. So that will be...
Yeah. About 180 days, give or take.
You're a funny bastard, aren't you? That'll be end of April, won't it? End of April.
Could be shoplifting.
April, May. You
get out after free.
So, realistically, we've lost him for the season. Cause,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
end of April. It finishes, what, 10th of May?
Yeah, around there. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. He's done.
He's done. All right. There you go.
All right, you ready now? Thanks for that.
Yeah.
It gave me enough.
Don't
time
go on. If you're going to do Super Six or Fantasy, if you start doing all this top 10 shit and going on for 20 minutes.
Showing your language.
Just stop sorry, me now. I was just going to go on to our Twitter because it's called Facebook Twitter Questions.
Oh, good.
One.
Yeah, yeah. True.
So we've done Facebook. Now we're doing Twitter.
All right. Get on with it.
Wobbly Knee and two others liked your tweet. Helen Ludlow. An art of podcast. That's your lot.
Right.
Hold up.
Predictions.
Super Six first.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
We've got to do it. Look, listen. Oh, creeping up on the league.
Please just do top three.
I'll just do the top three. I promise.
Number 10.
All right. I'm number 16th. Hanging on there.
Where am I? Am I close to you or not?
Just do the top three. Top where three. Am I?
23rd.
Where am I?
Only 4 points behind me. So it's very close. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm 16th with 1-3-2. Right. So where do we go?
Do your Super Six today, by the way, John, because there's a... obviously,
Super Six is for Wednesday, people. So
Wednesday, yeah.
Unless so if get the people now, at mate. The top want to forget, I'll gladly not remind you. But anyway, now you've stopped me. Number 10, Jeff Smith.
Oh, for Christ.
Number 9 is Luke's dad, Tim, up the Shamans. 8, Lee Davis. 7, Adam Darlington. 6, Ryan Smith. 5, Phil Walker. 4, James Madrick. 3, Ben White. 2, Andy Dennis. Still at the top, but now only by 1 point is Walt Disley. But a big shout, because the winner of this week was Super Dawny Osborne with 11 points. Well done, Dawn.
It was a tough week, you know.
Yeah, but she done well there.
Now, and she answer beat her the question.
Because I've not seen...
You made an accusation that I only go for 1-0 wins. Did I go for 1-0 wins this week?
Did you do 1-0 wins? Let's have a look, actually.
No, I did not.
What did you... Last week, when you got a lot of points, that's what you did.
Yeah, I don't do that every week.
Anyway, I've just done mine for this week.
Oh, no, you did Bournemouth 2-0. You did Fulham 1-0. You did Man City 3-0. You did... Oh, you did... West Ham 1-0. Oh dear, Sean. You shouldn't have said anything. You did Watford to win, Wolves to win 1-0. Can you remember what you put for the Spurs West Ham game, Sean?
Did you bet
the traitor in our midst?
Hang on, did you bet for West Ham?
I did, yeah, I put 2-1.
Oh, you're mad.
Yeah, I am.
Anyway, let's move on. Predictions.
We're going to win 2-0.
Nigel.
Do you know what? I'm going to be optimistic. I think we're going to lose.
Really?
Yeah, 1-1.
Well, by what? Go on. 1-1. Get on with it.
1-1.
And I'll go for my famous, we're going to win 1-0. I think that's it. We've just gone over our allotted time, so we're at 1:04. Are you ready for the jingle?
What, this one? No.
I have been Sean. Nigel has been...
in charge.
John has been...
looking forward to getting away from this.
Oh, here we go. You ready? All right.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Come on, you irons! More than just a podcast. Bye. Bobby Moore. More than just a podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.